Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two absolutely amazing guests. We have today Ian, oh my goodness, how do I pronounce your last name?
McKinnon.
I'm so sorry. And Jack Chutner. Chutner. Oh my gosh, I failed both of you.
It's a minefield, isn't it? Hello.
And wow, you know what? I'm going to keep this in because this is the content that listeners are here for. Normally, yeah. I am like, okay, we're good. Let's, you know, I know your names. And I just completely failed that. But that's okay because we're real. So hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Ian, if you want to introduce yourselves and let us know where we can find you on the internet.
Okay, I am Ian McKinnon. You can find me on Twitter at Ian McKinnon. That's IAIN MACKINNON. Although I don't usually use that account, I tend to use our other podcast account, which is at Nerd Therapy Pod. You can also find me and some of the stuff that I do at dvmpe.com or at nerdtherapy.xyz. There you go. There's a big list.
Fantastic. And what about you, Jack?
Jack Tutor. So I can be found at episode.party. That's a podcast that I do with my friend Freddie Harrison. We're at episode_party on Twitter. And then also at Attention Magazine, which is a music website I run. And that's at attnmagazine.co.uk. I'm becoming less and less interesting on my personal socials. But I am at Jack Tutor. So if I do become more interesting, you know, you can tune back in.
Well, they'll want to follow you to see your interestingness grow, right? That's
we'll
how that
see.
Works?
Yeah, exactly. It's supposed to be tantalizing.
Perfect. So as you can hear, both of these gentlemen are not natives of the United States. Where are you guys located?
Well, I am located on the Isle of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides of Scotland, off the northwest coast of Scotland. Which is about as far away from anywhere as you can possibly be.
And I'm in Cheltenham, which is in the Cotswolds. I don't even know. We moved here a year ago. It's in the UK, basically. It's in England. It's good going.
Wow, Jack.
Well, we don't want to give away your OPSEC. So, like, that's okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's why you can't state where you are located specifically.
Very secretive. It's in the hills. Go find me. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys both so much for joining me this afternoon / evening. Let's get started. So, how did you start listening to podcasts?
Oh, wow. Okay. Everything I'm going to say in this course of this episode is going to be a long, involved story.
It'll balance out the shorter episode last week. It's totally fine.
That's it. Yeah, just because Dan Morin can't talk that long, I'm gonna make up for it this time. I think it goes back to about 2009 or thereabouts. And it's very much tied in with my TV watching. I had been watching all the box sets of 24. I loved that show, and I really enjoyed the fact, you know, having a big stretch of shows to binge on was all very exciting to me. And having finished up all of my 24 viewing, I was looking for something else to watch, and I'd heard a lot of talk about the show Lost. And I think Lost, actually, from listening to this show, it seems that Lost was definitely a gateway drug for a lot of people in terms of podcasting.
Yeah.
But I came to Lost very late to the... I was late to the party. It was about the end of season 5 of Lost that I thought, right, I'm going to start watching all of this. And then I'll be set up for when the final season begins to air. So over the summer of 2009, I binged the entirety of Lost in about 2.5 to 3 weeks.
Wow.
And having watched it all, I realized immediately that there was huge amounts of stuff hidden in there that I just wasn't, you know, fully catching.
Right.
Lots of kind of, you know, mythos type stuff. And so I turned to, as anybody else would, the internet to see if there's anybody discussing Lost online.
And of course, you didn't find anyone.
not a soul. It was a wasteland. No, I was inundated with the amount of stuff that was going on. And I thought, wow, I can't even process all of this in a kind of, you know, in a literary format, you know, just reading this stuff. I need to actually kind of hear discussion because none of my friends at the time were watching it. So I'd heard about this stuff called podcasting. I thought, okay, let's see if there are any lost podcasts. And of course, my world just exploded. So I decided, well, I can't obviously listen to all of this stuff that's going on. And so I think the first shows that I listened to and the ones that I think I stuck with the most were The Transmission, which was Ryan and Jen, based out in Hawaii, which was a really nice discussion show. And the Lost Mythos podcast by a guy called W. Axel Foley and some of his friends. And they actually used to do, it was like a phone-in almost, where, you know, listeners would be listening to the kind of like the live stream kind of thing and calling in on their telephones.
Oh,
imagine.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah. and that was absolutely just amazing to me because the amount of speculation and whatnot that went on with Lost and the amount of stuff that actually was hidden in that show just, you know, it just captured my imagination. And I was, at that point, I was hooked to podcasts.
I love the intersection of media here. And it seems to be very, very common that most podcasts, like you either read something or you listen to something or someone tells you about something and you're like, I want more of it.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is to find other people that will talk about it with you. And if you can't find someone to talk about it with you, well, someone can talk about it to you. And and that's so cool. And yeah, I loved that whole the thing with Lost, with the exception of the ending, but we just ignore that, kind of like How I Met Your Mother, is all of these building blocks that were built up together that allowed for all of these conversations to take place, which is just so interesting.
It was so ripe for dissection.
Yes, which is great, especially I can imagine the creators of it saw this like spinoff almost of the worlds that were being created to talk about it. And I'm sure that they just felt so proud. Like, that's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love it as well that they didn't decide to, like, leave, like, tie up any of those loose ends as well. I love those things. And they just go, I'm just going to let that rest. And people will talk themselves into a frenzy about this stuff.
Right.
It's great. It's excellent television. It's perfect.
Fantastic. All right, Jack, what about you? What got you started?
So I guess it was a similar thing where I had an interest in something originally. I used to be this massive Ricky Gervais fan. I was a huge fan of The Office and Extras. And my cousin was like, you need to check out this new thing he's doing as a podcast. And that I was like, okay, podcast, what are you on about? He showed me the way how to download it, you know, for old granddad here. And I started listening and he did a show where it was him, his co-writer Steve Merchant and a chap called Carl Pilkington. And they basically just talked over the course of half an hour. And I'd never had anything like that before, like a static audio thing that you could download and listen to. I mean, there was the radio, but it's always on. And, you know, to have something on demand that I could just take for a walk with me.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the first time I really discovered, you know, the public embarrassment of listening to something that's funny while on headphones and grinning at strangers, scaring the hell out of them. You know, I lived in Basingstoke, which was a strange neighborhood, and I was probably one of the strange people within that neighborhood for that reason.
Well, at least you fit in.
Me too.
Yeah, exactly. I ingratiated myself.
This is like a support group.
And then I started having a long work commute at some point as well. So I was just obsessed with Ricky Gervais for that podcast for a while and was re-listening to episodes. And suddenly I started discovering all the sort of American big hitters of podcasting. So like This American Life and Radio Lab and 99% Invisible and TED Radio Hour and Stuff You Should Know and that. And I just used to really look forward to the end of work where I could just buy a pack of hula hoops and a can of Coke at the garage And then I had like an hour and a half journey home and would just buzz home munching hula hoops, like listening to all this, like talk, just being like, I can't believe how good this content is. So that was where I started. And really, it's all remained around my long commutes. I've cut back on the hula hoops, but the listening has remained like a staple, really, of my day. It's wonderful.
All right. I have a very, very important question for you. What in the world are hula hoops?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I should have thought about that. They're these crisps that are hoop shaped.
A processed potato snack.
Okay.
Yes. I think they're more processed than potato. They've not got a flavor like anything I recognize, but that's part of their je ne sais quoi. And they're a delightful crisp. And now I associate them with podcasting as well. So I've got that, all the good memories come rushing back. They're basically a portal to audio history for me now.
Oh, that's awesome. And as long as you don't eat them while you're recording, I think you're good.
That is the most romantic description of hula hoops I have ever heard.
We go way back.
Oh, that's so great. I love a link with a food and an item or a location with something very specific, especially because I'm sure anytime you see a bag of them, you're just like, oh.
I do you know what? I this is ridiculous. I can't believe it. Well, basically, when I go into the garage, I do glance at them and I'm like, our time has passed, Crisp. We've had some good times together. Grab my bottle of Buxton water and leave. It's a different world now.
That's tragic. You're making me cry here, Jack.
I know. I'm sure they're just reaching out to you. Oh, I'm so sorry. I miss you. Yeah. Come back to
And
me.
I'm like, stay away, trans fats.
Welcome to adulthood, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, dear.
All right, Ian. So obviously, you probably weren't going to do a Lost podcast. Since there were so many of them and you were listening to them. But what did make you want to actually start making a podcast? And what was the first podcast you made?
Okay, here's where the story gets really involved.
Yes.
Buckle up, folks, because this one is a doozy. Okay. As I said, I was listening to these Lost podcasts and I knew that season 6 of Lost was coming, but that it was going to be the final season, and I was looking for something else to kind of fill the gap. And in my listening to Lost podcasts, I heard about this new show that was going to be starting up on ABC in the fall called Flash Forward. And from what I heard about the descriptions of the show, I thought, oh, this sounds like it could be my bag. This sounds like it could be, you know, right up my alley. And so I wondered if anybody had already started a podcast about this show. And I went onto iTunes and I found exactly one. And it was these three guys in Chicago who were podcasting out of their basement. And I listened to them. And immediately when I heard them, I thought, these are my kind of guys. This is my tribe. These are the kind of people that I can envision myself hanging out with. And at this point, they weren't even talking about any actual episodes because the show hadn't even started airing yet. And I sent them an email saying that I was listening in Scotland because I figured being Americans, it's actually two Americans and an Australian, but I figured that being Americans, they would probably appreciate the fact that somebody in Scotland was listening to them. So I sent them an email and that was fine. And I sort of got in touch with them that way. And then when the show actually started airing on ABC, I watched the first episode and listened to the first episode of their podcast, Flash Forward, that aired, you know, once the show was actually in existence. And I realized that because of my training of listening to all this Lost nonsense, that there's a whole bunch of like hidden stuff embedded in the show that they hadn't talked about.
Ooh.
And I thought, I could probably put something together here in an email and send it to them. But then I thought, that's going to take far too long. Let's just record some audio, send it to them, and see if they want to use it. So I completely, you know, apropos of nothing, sent them this audio file. And they played it. And they said, keep them coming. So I did.
Uh-huh. Nice.
And basically every week from that point on, I was given myself, I was given my own slot on their podcast called Ian's Isle.
Nice.
No way.
And so, yeah. And so this became a thing where I was, you know, sending in my contribution every week. And my job was basically to find all the kind of crazy hidden Easter egg stuff.
Right.
What I didn't realize, though, was that the creators of the show, the writers and producers of Flash Forward, were listening to our podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they started getting in touch with us through Twitter and Facebook and whatnot. And so we were having this dialogue with the people who were actually making our favorite show.
Oh, wow.
And it was mind-blowing, completely mind-blowing. And then imagine my reaction when around about, I guess it must have been sort of November, December of 2009, when I got a tweet from the executive story editor of Flash Forward, a guy by the name of Quentin Peoples, who we'd had a lot of, you know, banter back and forth with. But he basically wanted to reward us for all of our hard work. And he said to me in this tweet that if he could get it okayed with David Goyer, who was the showrunner, that he was going to have a shout out to me in an upcoming episode.
Oh, what?
Oh, wow.
And at this point, my head just about exploded. I was trying I was trying not to squeeze too hard. Because I was like, it might not happen, it might not happen, you know. So I kind of kept a lid on it for long enough, and it was just about going insane. And then Flash Forward went on a big hiatus from December to March. And I was just losing my mind at this point. And I wanted to ask, is it happening? But I didn't want to come across as being too needy.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to be that person.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. But anyway, eventually I took the plunge. And, you know, because I was talking to Quentin anyway, I said, hey, so any word on this shout-out thing? And he said, yeah. He said that one of the upcoming episodes was going to be the McKinnon episode. And I was like, what?
What?
Are you serious?
That is amazing.
So anyway, I waited around, and eventually the episode aired. It was the episode Queen Sacrifice. I can remember it still. And I was actually off. I was off the island at the time. I was on holiday. And I couldn't actually get access to watch the show. And so I had to basically starve myself off of, you know, any kind of social media, because I didn't want to spoil it for myself. But anyway, I eventually got back home, and I was expecting that because I was the guy on the podcast who kind of hunted for all the little Easter egg things, that, you know, it would be something really cryptic. It would be like my name written on a poster in the background when people are walking past or something along those lines. And then I watched it. And they only went and named a character after me.
That's incredible.
That's all.
And admittedly, the character was dead on arrival. Like, his first appearance on screen, he's being zipped into a body bag. But the hilarious thing was that Quentin had managed to shoehorn into the script my full name being repeated I don't know how many times. I actually made a super cut of it.
Which is amazing, by the way.
If you search Ian McKinnon Flash Forward on YouTube, you will see exactly what I mean. And I basically spawned my own drinking game.
That's how you know you've made it, if you have a drinking game.
And the hilarious part of this afterwards was Quentin told me a while later, he said that although the production crew were all in on the joke, the actors weren't, and they were asking, what is this Ian McKinnon? Why are we saying his name so often?
Wow.
Oh, dear. So that was kind of my entry to podcasting. Unfortunately, Flash Forward came to an abrupt end. It didn't get even a second season, unfortunately. But in the interim, myself and the three guys who were doing Flash Forward, we hooked up with another of our Flash Forward contributors to do a Lost podcast. Yes, we did do one for the final season of Lost, where myself and the Flash Forward guys, we became the Flash Foursome, and we would do like a little segment on this podcast that was hosted by our friends Maz and Gab. And then anyway, Flash Forward came to an end. And we were looking to start, because we had a big fan base by this point. A lot of people were listening. And we didn't want to lose that. And so David Vox Mullen, who kind of hosted Flash Forecast, and Eric Olson and Keith Connor, they were going to go ahead and do something else. Keith couldn't make it, unfortunately. And so they actually asked Quentin, who actually ended up being the co-producer of Flash Forward, if he would guest with them on the opening episode of this new podcast they were going to do, where they were going to explore mysteries and, you know, conspiracy theories and whatnot. To which Quentin said, well, now that Flash Forward's come to an end, I don't really have a whole lot else going on. How about I co-host it with you, like,
oh,
every
my
week?
Oh, goodness. Wow.
And so he did. And I continued my Ian's Isle segment in that. And then we spawned from that. Dave and some other folks started putting together other podcasts. And thus the David Vox Mullen podcast empire, or the DVMPE as we know it today, was born. I went on to host a show with Dave where we dissected Sherlock, the BBC Sherlock show. We started in season 3, which podcasting wise was probably a bit of a mistake, because, you know, you really ought to get in on the ground floor, and by this time there was umpteen other Sherlock podcasts
right.
available. So starting in season 3, we didn't think that we would, you know, make any kind of headway. But on our network, the Sherlock podcast that we've done, although there's only like 10 episodes of it, it's the third most downloaded show on the entire network.
Wow.
Which is mind-blowing. It hasn't aired for about 2 years, that show, and yet it's still kind of regularly in the sort of top 5 on the DBMP chart, as it were. And then we start another one on Better Call Saul in February 2015. So that's kind of my podcasting journey thus far, up until Nerd Therapy, which we started last year. But I guess I'll talk about that in a minute. Back to Jack now. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, that was a raucous journey we went on.
Yes.
I mean, starting as just a fan of podcasts and then being able to be part of it, and then even part of a TV show, that's crazy. Yeah. That's so insane.
And what's ridiculous is the fact that I've never met these people. I work with Dave and, you know, all the other podcasters now. I work with all of these guys on a, you know, on a weekly basis, and I, you know, regularly interact with all these guys like Quentin and whatnot. I've never actually met them in person, because I live on this stupid island in the middle of, you know, the middle of the Atlantic. And yet I consider all these people my friends.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just crazy how these things come about.
The internet has really brought people together, for sure.
Yeah, well, here we are, you know?
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. I mean, you should have kept pushing with that Flash Forward thing until it was Ian McKinnon Presents Flash Forward, I think. We could have got there, I reckon.
Absolutely. Like, just milk it for all it's worth. All right, Jack, what about you?
So my love of doing podcasts started, I guess, in university, because I did multimedia journalism, and we'd have these radio days where we'd have to sort of emulate a newsroom. And I was generally allocated as presenter, because I had, you know, the boomy voice. And, you know, I used to do, like, audio stings as well for the shows. I used to love cutting up audio. I loved music. And it was something that I just really enjoyed. And so when it came to, you know, we were like, oh, there's a university radio station. And my friend and I are huge into experimental music. It's like my other big love in life is just weird sounds. And so we thought, right, let's do a university radio show. So it was called Ben and Jack's Freakout on Nerve FM, which was the Bournemouth University radio station. And we used to just, I mean, play all the music, really, that I think we wished would be on the radio more, and had a big chat about it and didn't take it too seriously, which is something, you know, that I've always enjoyed. It wasn't too chin-strokey. We kind of took the mick out of our own silly music tastes, you know, but it was just so much fun. And so I think that was what planted the seed for me in audio. I mean, also as well, I think that just made me realize what a joy it is to have these long form discussions with people about an interest and just to dive really deep and just to share that adoration. I mean, I'd already enjoyed listening to that kind of thing as well. I mean, by this point, my podcasting, actually, I don't know if it was by this point, but later down the line, my podcasting had kind of expanded to these, you know, long form conversations, just people chatting and not always with an agenda, but just there to have a good time. And I'd really become fascinated by, I guess, the art of discussion, how people question each other, how people really, I don't know, just keep a conversational momentum going. And I was like, I really want to have a stab at that, you know. And also as well, my friend Freddie and I, who also was on the same course as me, was also getting very heavily into podcasts. And we'd go down to a favorite cafe of ours and grab a coffee, and we'd both get our phones out. And then we'd just shoot recommendations back and forth. Like, if you listen to this, I've been really enjoying this, it's excellent, you should subscribe, mate. And then he'd be like, no, I haven't heard it, it's on the list. Hey, while we're here, what about this one? I think it's going to be right up your street. And then so we just did that really for, you know, too long, really. I mean, there was more than we could listen to realistically. But I think we were both bursting at the seams. I mean, I'd be intrigued to know with you guys. I mean, my podcasting conversations take place almost exclusively outside of, you know, the corporeal universe, all digitally, really. I mean, is that the same for you both, or what's it like for you?
I tend to, a lot of times on Facebook or Twitter or something, someone will be like, oh, I'm out of my podcast queue, and I first off I'm like, what is that like? What is not having any podcasts in your queue? What does that feel like? But then I really like to talk to them and find out what types they like to listen to, because my genres are so varied that I can't just say, oh, well, you automatically need to listen to this, because if they are not interested in whatever, I could, you know, they could find some interest in that. But really, it depends on what they want. And so I'll go through my list and be like, oh, well, try this. But yeah, it's, I would say probably about 90% of the time it's all online, because that's where people will ask for those recommendations.
I think for me, most of the time it's probably online as well, although occasionally I'll encounter somebody that I've maybe, you know, not met before. This actually happened to me last week, where I was talking to a guy who has a screenplay that he wants parts of it translated into Scottish Gaelic.
Oh, nice.
Which is kind of what I do, because Gaelic's my mother tongue. I do a lot of translation work. And as we were talking, I realized that he sort of shared a lot of interests with me. And then we kind of got into, I was wearing a D&D shirt at the time, we got into talking about D&D, and then we got into talking about D&D podcasts, and then before I know it, he's actually taking notes, and it's nothing to do with the screenplay, he's just writing lists of episodes of things that he really has to listen to.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
In the course of about a two-hour meeting with this guy, it was like, you know, 1 hour, 45 minutes talking about podcasts and 15 talking about the screenplay.
Well, to be honest, I mean, how much can you talk about the screenplay? Just hand it to me and let me translate it. Let's talk about the important parts, podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. Down to business. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Well, solidarity, that makes me feel great, because it is, I think it's really cathartic to actually speak with your voice about these things instead of like typing, you know, and swapping recommendations over Twitter and over email. And there's people on Facebook that, you know, I share recommendations with, and that's great. But actually just having a conversation is just the most wonderful thing. I think there's something cathartic about it.
It's very hard to gush in text.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Or even say why you like something, because it's, you know, yes, the topic is interesting, but it's usually the people behind it. And being able to say, oh, I love the interaction between these two people on this podcast. You can't necessarily like just define that in words.
No. And I often want to as well, and as you say, it's gushing, isn't it? It's that thing where suddenly I'm going, oh, and they do this bit where this happens, and may have spaced out by this point, but I, you know, do I care? Do I ever? I just want to talk about my love for the podcast. And I think, you know, But that's what, you know, talking and conversing allows for so much more. And so Freddie, in fact, came to me and was like, what do you think to starting a podcast about podcasts? Kathy, we're also in the meta game as well.
Yes.
You know.
Well, and to be doubly meta, we're recording a podcast, an episode of it next week. So I'm very excited for that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We just thought, how can we top this? So we've done well there, I think. But
it's
yeah.
Podcasts all the way down.
Absolutely.
Just podcasts over podcasts. It's yeah. And then we'll review the episode that we're doing now on next week's episode and the world will implode.
That's the singularity right there.
Yeah. And so Freddie and I started it and we were both a bit rusty to begin with. You know, we still are in some ways, but again, it's just about getting together on some microphones. You know, we invite a guest on who may be involved in the world of podcasting or might be my dad, and we just chat about what podcasts we enjoy and share them. And you know, we'll get onto it later, I guess, but some of my favorite podcasts have come out of that process of trading those recommendations. And meanwhile, I'd started as well thinking, I'm loving this podcast game. I want to do the same thing for experimental music, because there's not a huge, you know, in the Venn diagram of experimental music and podcasts, there's a little slither down the middle where there's, you know, something to satiate me as a listener of both of those things. So, and also, as well as I've said repeatedly over and over again, you know, I just love long-form chats. So I thought, let's have some conversations with experimental musicians about their favorite albums. And that's called Crucial Listening. And it's amazing. Like, I just, again, I've discovered some albums that I really treasure now just from hearing about people's personal experiences with those records. And, you know, that enriches my listening to them, but also just to hear musicians talk about a bit like this podcast, actually, just hear about, you know, when they're not transmitting, what do they receive, and yeah. Also how does that feed into, you know, yeah. what they enjoy doing and how they compose, and it's just yeah, so it's a lot of fun. So that's basically taken me up to today. I guess
I love how very intimate and personal that is with the musicians, especially how they have this, you know, because they love to listen to music too, because they're making it. And yeah. So, yeah, a lot like this, you know, you can make an art, but you tend to be a fan of that art as well, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I've listened to a few episodes of Crucial Listening, and as a musician myself, although by no means an experimental musician, and that kind of style of music isn't really my bag, but hearing people who are passionate about their subject, whatever that subject is,
yes.
is always intriguing. And it's one of the reasons why I will be able to watch a show on TV like Top Gear, where I know nothing about cars, but hearing people who are enthusiastic about cars talking about cars is actually kind of engaging.
Yes.
And so regardless of the fact that, you know, it might not be my style of music, it might not be my, you know, my thing, as it were, hearing people talking about the process and hearing people talking about how they got to be where they are and doing what they're doing, I just find it absolutely fascinating.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. I mean, and not to make this too saccharine, but this is the exact experience that I've had, you know, listening to Nerd Therapy, your podcast, because
hey.
I have no idea what's going on whatsoever. And I feel like I'm being dragged along by my hair in a story sense. But to hear, you know, that many people on microphones together just laughing so hard that you think the microphone's going to break. It's just like, I just think I want in on that. Like, that yeah. gives me a buzz, you know, and that, I think, is, you know, as you say, like the Top Gear thing, that's a real talent, isn't it? And there's loads of podcasts like that as well, where, mm-hmm. you know, I'll speak to people and say, I love this podcast. It's about this, but it's not about this, really. I mean, give yeah. it a chance. And actually, it's like, it's the I think you said, actually, Kathy, on one of these, a previous episode of this podcast, like, you go for the subject matter and then you stay for the people involved.
Yeah.
And there's
yeah.
so many I mm-hmm. listen to like that.
Yeah.
I didn't even get around to explaining Nerd Therapy. I'll come to that shortly. How long is this going to go on for, Kathy?
However long it needs to go. Come on, we gotta, like I said, we gotta bumper the shorter episode from last week to make this one, you know, extra long.
Oh dear. Well, I can do that right now, actually, if you want. If Jack's finished his.
Yeah, fire away.
Yeah. The nerd therapy thing, that in itself is kind of a hilarious story. I had been growing up, I had absolutely zero interest in Dungeons and Dragons. Absolutely none. There was a few guys in my school who played D&D, and they were of a particular type. and they were definitely not my tribe. So yeah, I would sort of look at them as they were sort of like skulked around in the cloakrooms playing with little models and stuff, and I was like, what on earth are you doing? And then kind of accidentally, via the Macworld podcast, weirdly enough, and listening to Jason Snell and all of these guys and Dan Moore and Glenn Fleischman, I accidentally stumbled across The Incomparable. And having discovered The Incomparable, I devoured everything that they ever did, except for one thing. Occasionally they would play games like Trivial Pursuit and stuff, but at one point they played a D&D campaign, and I shunned it because I had absolutely no interest in that whatsoever.
Right.
And eventually, having run out of anything else to listen to on The Incomparable Network, I thought, oh well, I'll give it a spin and see what it's like. And I laughed and laughed and laughed, and I realized, gosh, if this is what D&D is like, then count me in. So I started amassing a collection of the 5th edition D&D books, set up a game with my bandmates. I'm playing a band called the Dunringles. You can look them up if you wish. It's a very parochial sort of comedy outfit based entirely around Stornoway, which is the tip of my hometown. So anyway, we started this D&D game, and then eventually in the Incomparable members' Facebook chat, before we transmitted ourselves over to the Slack group, I posted in about November of last year, November of 2016 actually, sorry, a picture of my D&D books and saying, you know, TPK, look what you've done to me. At which point, this random guy from Norway called Nils said, so when are we playing then? And within about half an hour, there was about 9 people signed up, ready to go, who wanted to do a fan game based off of Total Party Kill.
Wow.
That's so cool.
So we scheduled a game, and we decided that we would record it. We played, and it was about 9 o'clock in the morning UK time. So the poor Americans who were on board, it was like 4 a.m., 5 a.m.
Oh my goodness. Oh my,
and we did this. We actually went ahead and recorded. It was ridiculous. We played this session, like a pre-dawn session for these guys. And we recorded that first session. That first session, which is episode 1 of Nerd Therapy, we had never actually spoken before. That was the first time we ever actually talked to each other.
Wow.
And what? We were delighted to discover that we all bonded like really, really well. We actually, after we recorded that first session, we submitted it to Jason Snell to see if he might want to use it for the TPK, maybe like for a bonus episode or something. And he, shall we say, politely declined. And so we're like sitting on this recording that we had, and then I sort of suddenly remembered that I was like second in command of this podcast network, and thought, oh, we should probably just put it out on our
own.
Genius.
And so we did, and so we're now 34 episodes in. We are all the best of pals now. And we all discovered, actually, that at some point in time, or even currently, we'd all suffered from some sort of either depression or, you know, anxiety issues or something like that. And so, hence the name Nerd Therapy came about, because in our Slack group, we are basically acting as each other's therapists, and playing the game is therapy for us as well.
Right.
And it's just 7 people having an absolute whale of a time.
Yeah.
Trying to out-funny each other and usually succeeding.
Wow. I mean, the people who were up on that first episode at 4 a.m. I mean, imagine that being your first meeting with someone, and then being like, you're going to meet these people for the first time. We're also going to capture that interaction and share it across the internet the as well.
Right. Yeah. Where it will always be.
It was insane.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Wow.
Did they like stay up until 4? Or did they wake up or?
No, they woke up.
Oh, they wow. Up. That's so yeah. intense.
Yeah. That's what I would probably have done too.
If you go back yeah. and listen to episodes 1, 2, and 3 of Nerd Therapy, and bear in mind that everybody who's speaking with an American accent has
mostly
literally got themselves up in the middle of the night to do this.
Wow. Oh, I'm going for that. That sounds amazing.
Oh, and I'm sure that adds an extra layer of extraness.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh. Fun. Okay, so now that we're done with backstory, half an hour in, 45 minutes in.
Yeah, suck it down, Lauren.
Right. Let's get down to the main question. And what is your favorite podcast and why?
That means I'm going first. Okay.
Yep. Still first.
Okay. I have a short list of honorable mentions. Obviously, our own show, Nerd Therapy, I absolutely adore. Otherwise, I wouldn't put the work into it that I do in terms of editing. Editing it is an absolute labor of love. I think I shared with you guys a video of what I have to go through in order to make it work.
Oh, it's beautiful. And yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's beautiful and horrifying at the same time.
Yes.
And again, we have Jason Snell to thank for that method of editing, because I saw him doing that in one of his Six Colors blog posts, and I realized that was the only way it was going to work for us. So it was a massive undertaking, but I still go back and I listen to every episode repeatedly because I just love hearing just the fun. Same goes for TPK, Joel Parakeel, absolutely love it. It was my gateway to D&D, and for that I will be forever thankful, and I just love listening to the guys. In a similar vein, Hello from the Magic Tavern, I know it comes up again and again, but it really is kind of, it is the prince among its field of that kind of, you know, improv fantasy comedy. There are parts of it that I'm not so keen on, and I think as time has gone on, I've maybe been slightly less enthusiastic about it than I was, you know, initially, but I still, every time it comes up in my podcatcher of choice, it's one of the ones that I go to first of all. The Incomparable Game Show is wonderful in every conceivable way, or inconceivable way. See what I did there?
Nice. Reference acknowledged.
I would say my favorite one of the things that we hear on there is probably Low Definition. Yes. Just because I think Steve Lutz is wonderful and I want to hang out with him. What else have we got? The Incomparable Radio Theatre. Again, I accidentally stumbled into being part of that myself through a variety of weird circumstances. But even without that, it just makes it fantastic listening. I was a big fan of things like The Goon Show and stuff like that growing up. And just hearing that kind of, you know, old-timey radio vibe going on mixed with this sort of theatre/podcasting approach. Love it. Fantastic. On our own DVMPE network, we have a show called Movie Mojo Monthly, where Jameson Rabbit and Brian Bauer talk about movies that they've just watched, and they give their reviews, their opinions, and, you know, and their guilty pleasures, which is always fun. And given that I live on an island where our local theatre shows movies about 6 months after they've aired everywhere else, it is a little bit like the grandpa in The Lost Boys getting the TV guide, because, you know, once you have a TV guide, you don't need an actual TV. So I just listen to them talk about movies instead of watching them. And another absolute favourite of mine is We're Not Wizards, which myself and some of the Nerd Therapy crew, we actually guested on this a while back. It is a tabletop gaming podcast where they talk about just anything tabletop. A lot of, you know, Kickstarter campaigns of people who are trying to launch a new game, talking to creators and whatnot. And again, it's this whole thing of people who are passionate about what they're talking about. Other than D&D, I play almost no other tabletop games. And yet hearing, you know, these guys, you know, talking about the the different stuff that's you know, that's out there, and you know, all these creators kind of passionately talking about, you know, the process of getting their game to market. It's absolutely fascinating. So We're Not Wizards, highly, highly recommended. Richard is the guy, not Colin. So they're fabulous. But I would say my favorite thing to listen to is Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast. This is, being from the UK, I had to go to the BBC. BBC Radio 2, Simon Mayo is one of their hosts. He's been doing this confession slot on various shows that he's been on since the 90s. And it is just absolutely hilarious. It's listeners sending in their sins, as it were, usually in long form, you know, essay format, if you like. Simon will read out this essay, and then the people in the studio will then kind of discuss whether or not that person is forgiven for their crimes. And they are absolutely hilarious. And I tend not to be able to listen to them live when they go out on the radio. And so conveniently, the Confessions podcast bundles them all together, like three or four at a time.
Oh, nice.
And it's just hilarious listening. So highly recommended. All of the above. But I'll say Simon Mayo's Confessions as my favourite.
He is great, isn't he? Mm-hmm. In fact, Kermode and Mayo as well, their film review podcast.
Yes.
It's a huge part of my life as well. There's a film, basically the biggest film buff in the UK is called Mark Kermode. And just a really intense character, but really, really wonderful film reviewer. And Simon Mayo is the perfect antidote to his hand-waving and elaborate adjectives, really. Very cynical and, really funny counterbalance.
Yes, oh, delightful.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's kind of like a film version of John Siracusa.
Okay. No, that's a great, great way to define him. All right, Jack, it's your turn.
Right, yeah. It's just so difficult, isn't it? I mean...
Yep.
Because podcasts pad out all parts of my life, really, and so favorite is dependent on time, what I'm doing, and mm-hmm. I mean I guess I really thought about this, and in fact while I've been listening to Ian do his answer, I realize I've been really clutching my hair and squeezing it because I'm thinking about all the podcasts I've missed. And but so I've got just a small list of podcasts. I couldn't pick a favorite out of them all, so they're all level pegging for first place. Everyone Else is a podcast by someone called Eva Krizyak, who is a writer for The Guardian. She's also done a podcast that's very similar called The Start, which is actually for The Guardian. And
Guardian do a lot of stuff.
Guardian are really becoming like a big podcasting name, and in fact they've started upping their quality recently. Like they're really really killing it at the moment. But this one I think is a real shining beacon in the whole Guardian podcast package. It's The Start, to begin with, is they get a stranger to tell their story, and you don't get any context about them. The interviewer is kind of taken out as well, so it's just the guest talking and telling their story. There are loads of gaps where there's just this lovely music. All the music, I think, is composed for the podcast specifically. It's beautiful, like ambient music, but there's so much emptiness there. And you just get this, there's little intro or anything. You're just guided into this story. You only know this story about this person. And then it's, you're just sent out the other side. There's no like, that's all folks for this week. The guest says the last thing and then the music fades out and that's it. And it's this surreal, dreamlike experience. It's like passing a stranger in the street and just catching their story on the way past. It's beautiful. And
wow.
Yeah, it's, I just absolutely love it. She's done one called The Start recently, where she speaks to musicians, artists and filmmakers about their artistic beginnings. So they speak about an early project. They've got Sofia Coppola talking about The Virgin Suicides, I think. Mm. And again, similar format. The presenter isn't there at all. They just tell their story and you're led out the other side. And I just feel so I mean, often very tranquil listening to it, but depends on the content of the story and the story of the guest. And that's the thing with strangers, you never know. So that one is just everyone else is something that I really think everyone should be listening to. Because also as well, I think it's just the way of, I just think it's so artful, like to not have a narrator and have that story flow, you know, have no glue between the guest other than, I don't know, ambiguity, uncertainty, implication. It's just gorgeous. So that's one. The other one that I've been really enjoying very recently, and this actually is a recommendation I got from Episode Party, is called Brian Gittins and Friends. And this is on the other end of the spectrum. I mean, this is the most ludicrous podcast I've ever heard in my life. So there's a comedian called David Earle who plays a character called Brian Gittins, who does this voice, which I'm not going to do, terribly embarrassing, but this really gruff, stupid voice the entire time. He's with a comedian called David Edwards, and each time they invite on a guest and they pretend to go on this journey. So they go to a sweet factory, they're escaping a zombie apocalypse, or they're at a boxing match. And they improvise the entire thing the whole time. And David Edwards is basically comedically tortured that whole time. They say, right, David, now you're going to go climb up that mountain. Off you go. And he has to pretend through sound to be climbing up this mountain. They're playing sound effects. But then they'll throw a curveball at him. And they'll be like, oh, David, you've fallen over. And he has to pretend to have fallen over. Or, you know, and they oh, just wow. basically make him run in an improvisational comedy sense the entire time.
It sounds like a D&D game.
It doesn't it? I mean, the one addition is they also have a robot called Charles Petrescu who interjects every now and then as well. It's just it took me like two episodes to keep up. But I was listening on the way home from work the other day, just crying. It's the funniest podcast I've ever heard. So that's one I really like. Adam Buxton, he does a podcast called The Adam Buxton Podcast. He's a wonderful interviewer. He speaks to musicians and filmmakers and all kinds of artsy people. He just loves sound, so he does all the jingles himself. He records the intro out on a walk on a field recorder. He's such a warm interviewer.
Wow.
I think he just loves what he's doing. He's such a warm host. The ones he does with Louis Theroux, the documentarian, are amazing. Mm. There's one where they have energy drinks and then halfway through they start to get really loopy and start singing because they're buzzing on the caffeine. Amazing. The final one I wanted to mention was Griefcast, which is a podcast by Cariad Lloyd, who's a comedian again. She invites guests to come on and speak about their experiences of grief and loss. And that one is a surprisingly humorous podcast. I mean, I guess with, you know, with loss, it often leads into the sort of zeal of living and happy memories, but also confronts a lot of stuff head on. And I think it's just, again, it's a beautifully made podcast, and I think it's perfectly pitched and unlike anything else I listen to. So yeah, they're the ones that come to mind, and no doubt you'll get a frantic email from me at 1 a.m. being like, I forgot this and this and this, but that's the list I can think of right now.
Follow Jack on Twitter for those random podcast recommendations after this episode comes
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, that grief one especially, that sounds so interesting. Growing up, my grandparents owned a funeral home. So like death has never really been a big, I mean, obviously dying is a big deal in my brain, but like the afterness of it, like everything that the survivors deal with and stuff has been very, very aware and present in my world. And the fact that grief takes so many different forms, and it's different for everyone, and you can have grief even if it's not a death, you can grieve for loss in different ways and for different losses. That sounds like another one to add to my definitely not empty queue.
Yeah, it's so true. Like, that's the thing. It's, and there's someone who I think who came on, I haven't listened yet, but talked about their dog passing. And again, it's that thing of, you know, it's not the magnitude as it's perceived from the outside. It's, you know, the grief is an emotional response, and it's about that experience, not the event. And so it's just vital listening, I think. Yeah, really, really recommend it.
Wow. Oh, I love the wide range of podcasts as well that makes me happy. All sorts of good ideas. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Are you guys ready?
No.
For the final bonus question round thing. Yes, exactly. All right. And this is perfect for you guys. What is the most American thing you have ever done?
Wow. Boy.
I know. It's a tough one.
The most American thing I have ever done.
No pressure.
Okay, well, I'm struggling to find anything specifically American, but I did something this very day that many of my Scottish compatriots would consider to be completely anathema, which is I made some bacon and I made some pancakes and I served the two things together.
What?
With maple syrup poured all over them.
Because that's the best way to eat both.
Pancakes should be eaten with a cup of tea. Bacon should be eaten in a bread roll with tomato ketchup and or brown sauce on top of it. But never at any point should the pancakes and the bacon be consumed simultaneously, nor should they be combined with maple syrup or anything sweet whatsoever. So therefore, and I even drank coffee instead of tea.
Oh,
so there you
wow.
go. That is about as wow. American as it gets.
That is totally, totally American. Yes. And now I know what we're having for dinner.
What a treat.
All right, Jack.
So I've remembered an experience which touches upon a lot of American stuff within the space of about 3 hours. So this all come flying back into my mind as you said the question. So I went to Los Angeles when I was on a media studies course, and so they took we took a trip to like Universal Studios and you know Disney World and all this. No idea what it did for my education, but I'm telling this story now, so I've benefited from the experience. But so we had these huge American desserts one night instead of dinner because we all wanted to try something sweet but were too full, you know, with our tiny British bellies after the main course. And so I had this sort of crazy, ludicrous, should be banned kind of brownie dish with cream and ice cream and whatever. Woke up in the morning in our hotel feeling so ill, ridiculously ill. Someone was in the bathroom in my hotel room, so I had to be sick in an empty Abercrombie and Fitch bag that I then put outside the sliding doors of the hotel room. I then sat on the bus being very ill and not feeling great as the rest of my classmates walked around Beverly Hills. The bus driver brought a McDonald's onto the bus, made me feel even more ill. And then we went to the airport and there was, I can't remember his name, but he was like a famous American, like heavy metal guitarist, sat in the airport as I was sat there delirious from food poisoning. So that felt like a pretty American few hours for me, and not a pleasant experience, but I felt like it all also stemmed from, you know, eating a gigantic meal as well, which I feel is quite apt for what I understand as US
funny
food
how
culture.
The most American thing that either of us could think of for both involves food.
Right? I feel like our food choices are very quintessentially American. Yes. Especially when compared to the UK areas, like the food differences. I mean, I was in London and Dublin a couple years ago now, and just like it's so very different, and it's such an interesting experience to see those little things that are so very, very different. That you don't ever think about until you experience it.
One of these days, I'll tell you about some of our Isle of Lewis delicacies.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I've only had haggis once, and that was like about 8 years ago now. But my partner lives on her parents live on the Isle of Mull. So I think
oh, yeah.
a short you know, I was going to say a short journey down from you guys. It's actually quite a way, isn't it, from the Isle of Wight?
Yes.
Well, quite a ways in European standards.
Yeah, UK speaking.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
probably a weekend jaunt for us Americans.
Yes.
If that.
Yeah, it's... So that was curious. I mean, I didn't go back to it after that point, but, you know, that was something. Having a bit
of haggis. You experienced it. That's good.
Yeah, ticked it off.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me today. I hope you had as much fun as I did. And thank you, listeners, for listening to this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or on Twitter at Friends in Ears. You can find Ian at Ian McKinnon. And you can find Jack at Jack Tudor. And I am at Mrs. Soup. Thanks again. I hope you guys all have an absolutely fantastic day.